cliffcentral.com.
Okay, I was singing like with the last, I just in the last part of the song. Romeo can sing, but hey, he never sings. I don't know why. I think maybe his voice is like for classified and no, more compact.
Remember, I've got, I've figured with recording, I've got a church voice and I don't have a recording voice. So I can sing at church. I can do the praise and worship on my own, you know, from welcoming the guests and the works. I can even preach. But put me on record. Ooh.
And then we have problems.
I sound like a squeaky.
Yeah? You sound like it's okay, then let's not have squeaky voice. Yeah. Good morning, and welcome to Belighted with Ramyo and Romeo on a beautiful, beautiful Monday morning. Once again, we are here. Romeo, how was your weekend? Quickly, like 30 seconds.
30 seconds, start counting. My weekend was actually cool. I'm very excited. I'm going to graduate.
Yay!
And then,
shine!
Yeah, so I'm very happy about that. And then also, I'm doing my honors in computing and e-learning and stuff. So I was at the library, essentially, and then church and then chill.
Okay, your weekend
is
was boring.
Is that 30 seconds enough for you?
Yeah, but your weekend was boring.
Ooh!
Sorry.
What about you?
What did I do? Okay, on Saturday morning, I went to speak at a breakfast event for Successful Women's Magazine.
I saw the cover. We had a very beautiful cover. You look 22.
My daughters say so.
No, you look beautiful.
Yeah, my kids say so as well. I'm like, wow, okay. It's fine. thank you. But then they had a breakfast and I was their keynote speaker on the day. Okay. So I spoke quickly and I couldn't even like manage to eat because I had to rush to another event. Tabiso Matlapi of Blackbird.
Ah, yes,
she was doing the writer's masterclass.
Yeah. That was, yeah.
And since you know that I'm writing my next book, English has run away. When English is not your mother tongue, it's a problem. So I had to go to the masterclass so that I can sharpen my skills. But yes, I also spoke.
What is contained in the class? So, what kind of things?
You know, what Tabiso did, she was basically showing, how to put the story right. How to do it like from basic and then the middle, the end, the storylines, how they intertwine, how you could actually describe something, you know, painting a picture for a reader. Because one of the most disappointments that people who read books have is that once you've read the book, then you see the movie and everything that you had imagined while you were reading the book is not there. And then that becomes very, very disappointing.
Okay.
So, yeah, basically that's what she was talking about. What a beautiful... Yo, I didn't know Tabiso was this brilliant. I just wanted to cry. It was just so emotional.
Okay. Well attended?
Very well attended. It was packed, like... All the tickets were sold out. Because I think she had reserved about 20 seats, and they were all done because she does intimate classes.
Yeah, obviously, I think
because it's a master class, you know.
Yeah.
Because everyone, and then she gives exercises, and then people have to give feedback. They must tell their stories, what they want to write about, and all of that.
Okay.
So you can't have anything more than 20 people. I think that will be pushing it.
No, that would be crazy.
Well, there are people who wanted to come, so we do have another master class coming soon. So we'll sort that out.
All right.
Okay, that was too long. That was too long. You asked me too many questions.
Usually your weekends are far much better than mine. So that's why I'm interested to find
Sunday?
Out.
What did I do on Sunday? On Sunday, Botshelo woke me up. I woke up and Botshelo...
And Botshelo is Rami's last born, by the way.
They're not the diva.
Yeah.
So Botshelo came and she said, listen, we have to go to a movie. So we went and we watched Rock Dog. I think Rock Dog.
It's a cartoon.
It's cartoon.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. Oh, but something amazing happened. I actually wanted to put it on Facebook. I must just find the words. After the movie, you know, there's like a nice play song that plays at the end. You know, that one is like the climax.
Yeah.
It's called Glorious.
Yeah.
What a beautiful song. And I was just listening to the song. And then Botshelo says, like, as people are standing up to go, she's like, listen, I love this song. I'm just going to go down there and dance. So Botshelo walks down from we're sitting right at the back, the last row. Then, and you know, Monte Cassino theaters are huge.
Yeah.
So she went all the way down in front of the screen and she started dancing. And I mean, my child dances and she was doing this, like in church, they will call it spirit dance, but she was doing something like that. And I actually didn't notice that people actually had stopped and they were watching her. And when the song finished, they clapped for her.
Oh, wow.
It was so good. I was like, that's so cool. But I, you know what I liked about it? The the freedom of just saying, I don't know these people, we're in a theater and it's packed of kids, with parents. Mm. But then she just said, okay, I'm just going to go down there to dance. And while she was dancing, by the way, other kids came and they joined her.
She started a movement.
Nice. And it was glorious. Yeah. So I was like, I'm going to download that song for her. She loved it.
Yeah. Okay. So bottom line is, I think what I'm concluding from that, here's a belated moment. Sometimes we need to act like kids to get what we want.
Exactly.
Especially when it comes to our dreams.
Yep. Mm. So, talking about dreams, Romeo, I mean, today in studio, you know, Romeo always accuses me. He thinks I know everybody. Don't you? You think I know everybody, ne?
Why are you dragging our laundry?
No.
We've got guests in studio.
Wait, I'm ready for the drum roll. I'm going somewhere.
Okay.
You always think I know everybody.
Right.
Mm. But you do.
You know everybody.
No, I don't.
All you need to do is you see Rami and you're going to talk to her like you've known each other for long because people can connect with your life. So you know everybody.
Okay. Now, let me give like in 1 minute, give you the history of what we're doing here.
One minute is too long. 30 seconds.
Okay. No, because it leads to the drum roll and everything.
Okay.
So now, on Facebook, there's a group called Brown Sense.
Okay.
It's basically a whole lot of entrepreneurs who are trying to like put their business out there, you know, letting each other know, this is what I'm doing. If you're looking for this product, I have. Right. If you're looking for this kind of service, I do that. I render that and all of that. So I joined that thing. And then I thought, oh, we should have an entrepreneur session on Belighted. Mm. So I got onto Brown Sense and I put in a notice. Mm. Remember, and I said, guys, on Belighted, we're looking for entrepreneurs, blah, 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 blah. Then people responded. A lot of emails. I mean, there were more than 83.
83.
And out of the 83 that responded, the 33 replied to that questionnaire that we sent.
I'm just trying to drum up our guests so they know they're actually a big deal.
Don't worry, we are there. We are getting to you. Yeah. Then after the 33, we selected the 8 because we're supposed to, 8 entrepreneurs that we're going
don't
to
Don't forget
feature.
To say top 8.
Top 8.
Yeah.
Well, top 8 according to us, because it is not about the success of the business per se, but it is just the unconventional ways but that
let
original.
Me say this, let me say this as well. I think if there's one thing that a lot of entrepreneurs fail, a simple thing, they never respond to anything. So the fact that you have people sitting in the studio, they understand the importance of respond.
Exactly.
Respond, because you don't know how much business you're losing by not responding.
Exactly. Mm. You're right there sitting here in front of my brain. Because the
and
exactly
I can see
you
your
say.
Hair. Yeah.
So, can you see my hair from the back? You're not funny.
Okay.
So now, Maromza, then out of the 8 that we got, we're supposed to have 4 today.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm. And then the 4 that we said, please come through, only 2. Responded that they are coming through.
Yes.
So the other 2 that we cut from everyone else.
The top 4.
The top 4. They didn't say anything.
Yeah.
So now I have to go back to Brian Sense and say, Wena, no more.
Yes.
Wena, no more. Mm. We're giving other people a chance.
And I noticed you actually send a follow-up email as well.
I did. Yes, I did.
Entrepreneurs, you must always respond. It doesn't matter what.
They have to respond. Mm. So now, Bulelwa, who is here?
Hey!
Are you going to do a drum roll for Bulelwa?
She deserves a drum roll anymore.
Yeah, Bulelwa was actually one of the first few people who responded like immediately on the day.
Yes.
Yeah. And then she responded and she said she wanted to come through. She wanted, you know, and then she kind of told us about the business. And then she touched me about her and me and my husband, we do this and this and this and this. Then I'm like, okay, send a picture so that we can put for the social media for the promo.
Yeah.
She sends this picture and there's this guy. And I'm like, I know this guy. So in studio, we also have Mwako.
Yeah.
But what a shock. I don't know Bulelwa.
Yeah.
And I've been talking to her all this time. And then she said, my husband. And then I actually know the husband more than I know the wife.
So now you see, you know everyone.
That's what I was saying. So what a shock. When I saw the picture, I was like, I actually held it up. I was like, no.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I know this guy, man. You know what's holding it. Also, so ladies and gentlemen, in studio, we've got...
How's one?
Mwaku and Bulelwa Makura.
Yeah,
welcome guys.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming.
As well. Yeah. Thank you.
I can't believe you guys are here.
Yeah, you know, the funny part is I think life is just amazing. I mean, our story starts in 1983.
Why are you telling people things like, okay, tell them.
You know,
no, tell them.
Mama, what do you mean? You look 12.
Look at Romeo.
You know, there's something called predestination when you I don't want to preach, but I met Rami the first time because her mother was my teacher at Samuel Tema.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever she would come from school, she would always visit the school as well. I mean, that's mm-hmm. where we all started.
Mm-hmm.
And today, you know, it's like that first meeting, you know, it's like it's the one that says, you know, you guys are going to work together one day. Well, yeah. You guys will be across the table from one another one day.
Mm.
And that's what I'm talking about when I say last year, I picked up the name tag and I was like, I told my wife, I'm going to do something with Rami.
Mm.
And she's like, no, you can't be serious. I said, you see, I picked up her name tag. Mm. And Pity.
You picked my name tag?
Yeah, there was a name tag. It was written Naramichweni, and it was in a goldish plate, you know. And last year.
What company was that?
I don't know what company was that.
I was probably speaking
most
somewhere,
probably could have
and
been that.
I took it off and they,
yes,
like,
yes,
threw it away.
You know, yeah, but anyway, this is that's life, you know. You remember when you were doing when I picked you up with Andreas Carr in Pretoria.
Yes, yes,
you know, we've always had
yes.
run-ins, you know, and that's what has been happening. And
yeah.
then at one stage I was in COSEC.
Yes,
and you were
FUBA.
Was it FUBA?
Yeah.
Yes.
FUBA.
You know, so we've been always been meeting.
There was always an interconnection.
Exactly, my
now,
brother.
What I like, you said something, the importance of predestination and the importance of speaking things until they happen.
Yes, yes.
And you actually
brother.
Spoke this and you applied your faith and you believed it, and today it's happening.
Today it's happening a year later.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And it's not even, the weird thing is that it was not even your connection, because it was Bulelo who was responding all this time. Out of all the 83 emails
yes.
that came through,
yeah.
they happened to be like one of the guys that we picked. I mean, yeah, that's
crazy. But also, you know,
I just spoke like Romeo, because that's
you did.
Romeo loves those things. He will like, you know, he weaves everything, and
yes.
like, that's why you are here, because
yeah.
of this. Yeah. For a second there, I almost hit myself. So like, hey,
but the thing is, you know what? This is very important, because, you know, when I talk a lot to entrepreneurs, and we talk about entrepreneurship perception,
yes.
and what that is what you guys have done. You will not understand until you see the benefits and the rewards. What you've done, you've actually built such a powerful perception, and you had said to us as Belighted that this is how important our business is to us,
mm-hmm.
and that's why we are here today.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
your response to us means you take yourself seriously,
yes.
and then automatically it means we take you serious.
Thank you very much. Thank you
and
very
I think
much.
Bulela also sent a follow-up email, because it was the first email, and then she said, she sent the information and then sent another mail saying, did you get the information?
Mm.
And I was like, yeah, I got the information.
Yeah.
So, and that was
cool. Nice touch, right?
Okay. So,
and the funny part is, I didn't know about it.
Mm. Well, I didn't know about it until I saw your photo. until I saw your photo the other day. So, guys.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay, let me tell you about your business is called Inspired Vegan. Food.
Vegan.
Yes. Vegan food.
Be careful of bun.
I almost said virgin, you know. Vegan. Vegan food.
Yes.
Inspired.
Let me tell you, one of the
food.
Things that made me say to Maromza, we are going with these guys. Rena Ratana Mawan. Eat meat.
Yes.
A lot of meat.
Yes.
Yeah. And I know that we have a whole lot of people. Black people
mm-hmm.
who are vegetarians, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Some of them who are vegans.
Mm-hmm.
But then I never thought a black person or black people would actually see that as a niche and say, okay, this is the business that we're going to. Unless, of course, it's just like proper farming.
Yeah, I get you.
Whatever,
yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But in the middle of Joburg, in the city, in Gauteng, and then here's a couple who are like, this is how we're going to do it. Yeah, tell us about it. Tell us about your business. And before you tell us about your business, tell us who you are, Ngwako. You tell us who you are, Bulelo, and who feared who. Careful. You know what? No.
Let's go. Let's go.
You should be happy that I'm the one asking the question. Once Romeo starts asking, Shem,
yeah.
ask you about the sales. Careful.
No, that's all right. I'll let Bulelo start, you know.
Okay, I grew up in Carletonville, a small mining town.
in towards the West Rand. And then I landed up in Joburg because of school. I went to Wits University. I studied as a social worker. And I worked as a social worker for 14 years. And along the way, on my personal journey...
Rima was going to say you look 20, but then you worked for 14 years. Okay, never mind.
Thank you. along the way, on just my personal developmental journey as a person, I attended a workshop and the facilitator made a suggestion about eating meat, basically. He said, if you're fearful, consider that when animals are killed, they hold the fear in their flesh. And when we eat that meat, we eat the fear along.
Aman.
It's just my story.
I know. I'm head already.
So because I was a fearful person, I think that resonated with me or hit a nail somewhere in me. And I started on my vegetarian journey then. And then I met Ngwako 5 years ago. And in our interacting and talking and sharing, we started asking each other questions. Like, can you believe we didn't know that there's no special cow for milk? You know, cows only produce milk when they have calves, just like human beings. You know, we didn't know that. We thought there's a special cow that where we can get milk as human beings.
So we're technically breastfeeding as well.
Yes, basically. So when we did the research from that, asking those questions and asking what do bees eat and asking that, we decided whatever way we're dealing with animals as human beings doesn't resonate with us. It doesn't resonate with our spirit. And then we decided, let's go all the way vegan. And that's how we became vegan. And then we saw the results in our health, more vitality, more energy, skin clearing. Our son had eczema. He didn't have eczema anymore. Myself as well. I had bad acne and it cleared on its own. I had period pains and they cleared over time. So all these health benefits, and we started realizing that this, for us, this is the way to go. That is supposed to be about me, but
Okay.
Basically.
So you met him 5 years ago.
Yes.
Okay. But then how did you know that? Because you were already a vegetarian, right?
Yes, I was already a vegetarian.
So how did you know, how do you guys meet? Like, I think I like you. You don't look like, you look like a vegetarian, so that
well,
I like you.
I actually like her to tell the story of how we met, because I was on Zusk, on a dating website. Yes.
Okay.
So after I got divorced, and I decided that I was against, very much against dating websites. And that particular year, 2011, I decided I'm going to put up my profile. But I said, I looked at most of the guys' profile. I said, you know what? I need to be different in expressing myself. Mm-hmm. And what did I write?
He wrote, "He's an exceptional man." And I thought, in this day and age, what man describes themselves as an exceptional man?
Yeah.
I must meet this guy.
So that's what happened.
Wow.
And the day that I sent her an email, it was the day that she wanted to leave, and it was the day that I wanted to leave as well, the site. So it was just one of those magical moments, you know, like a serious true Romeo and Juliet story. Excuse the pun.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, so this time, okay, maybe we say Remy and Rami this time. Ngwako, born and raised in Polokwane, formerly Eugene Poko from Khaiso High School.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came to Joburg looking for myself, I had to change my name to Ngwako Mahura to honor those that have passed before me.
Mm-hmm.
And how did I become a vegetarian? 1994, Polokwane, working at Edgar's, this lady, there was a white lady that I was speaking to. I said, listen, I'm going to get lunch and I'm going to Chicken Licken. Would you like something? And she says, no, I don't want anything from
Chicken Licken.
I'm a vegetarian. I said, what's that? Ooh. And then she explained what was happening. So at the time, Steers had just introduced a burger. And I said, I'm going to go to Steers and check the burger. And down the line, I started, you know, I went home. I said, I'm a vegetarian. They looked at me like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
But my mom said something very interesting. She said, when you grew up, you never really liked meat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then 5 years down the line, I dropped out. You know, I left the meat eating thing and I went back to meat, and I didn't have a real reason of why I'm doing it. 2007, I'm staying in Mpumalanga on a farm. I've got chickens and I'm going to have cows. I'm going to have this. So, you know, I had cocks that were fighting. Yeah. And I said, you know, I need to get rid of one. As I'm cutting this particular one, yeah, I could feel the knife in my throat, literally. And then, Rami, I tell you, that day, I just pushed it away and I said, Charles, come and take this chicken. I'm out. And that day, the first book that I opened was from Hare Krishna and whatever. And I started reading about vegetarianism. And to cut this, then my story merges into her after I got divorced. And, you know, what she didn't tell you was the first frustration. I tried to make chocolate the first day. And without even reading the instructions and all that, and I melted the sugar into the pot, and then I left it. And then the next thing, I go back after 10 minutes, the sugar has hardened and all that. Mm-hmm. It was such a frustrating journey, because now we're going to all these mega stores and we're starting to check all the ingredients. Everything has got eggs, everything has got milk, honey, everybody has got milk, everybody has got... And it was really dramatic for me, because I liked my cheese. I like my dairy stuff, you know. So that's the story in short, how it all started.
Yeah, I really want us to get into the business, because I think part of why we called you here is to sell yourself.
For sure.
And we want people to start supporting you. And I think we have another guest as well. Yeah. So I think I'm just mindful of time.
Yes.
But I want you guys to have enough carte blanche to really sell your business, because obviously I love how it fuses. You leave the brand. You're not talking about going and, you know, getting somebody's product to come. You actually create actually indulge and eat and live what you talk about.
Exactly.
So I really, really, I'm itching to get to that.
All right.
Yeah.
Inspired vegan food. It is really through inspiration that we're doing what we do. Mm. You know, inspired in spirit. For us, food is not just what it is. That's why we have got a hashtag more than just food, because you are what you eat. You know, if we start from that premise, I understood one of the main fundamental layout for our business was to say, first, we need to understand what is it that we're giving people. So basically, like, for instance, we won't give you coconut milk that comes from a tin. We get the fresh coconut from the ladies in Mozambique, and we make the milk out of that first.
Mm. Wow.
So the scones that we brought for you, it's something that we start the process from there.
Yeah, that's food, yeah.
So we brought food. So that you can taste. Food you can't talk about. You got to get people to taste the food, you know. Mm. So basically, that's where it starts from, my brother. It starts from having a pure understanding of the integrity of what, when people don't see you in the kitchen. Mm. So for us is to start with the manufacturing. We do everything. We start from the beginning to the end of the process, you know. So the processing we do within the house. Mm. And yes, we will not give you things in plastic containers. We will give you in, you know, glass, because we believe in glass more than any other thing.
Yeah,
so that is the business.
If you just joined us, we are talking to the owners of Inspired Vegan Food, and that's Bulelwa and Nwaku Mahura. I love how they actually source, you know, their own material or their own products in order to create. They are not more like your on the shelf, you know, off the shelf type of thing, but they actually go and find, you know, naturally to create something that you can eat. And we've got food in the studio. Someone is supposed to be taking pictures.
Maramza.
Yeah, we need pictures. Don't eat before we take pictures.
No, wait. Palesa, come take pictures of this one before I take it.
Yeah. We need pictures.
Somebody must let,
Because before long, we'll take pictures of you. So we don't want that. So, of course, and if you want to order, you can actually order their food online. So online bulk grocery site, which is HTTP Chanzo. Is it Chanzo? Ne?
Yeah, Chanzo.
Chanzo. Chanzo.spaza.co. So Chanzo spelled Chanzo. Spaza.co. And then obviously looking at Portfolio Food, they'll tell us more about what Portfolio Food is. And then if you go to, that's their Instagram actually. So if you go to Instagram and then you search for Portfolio Food, and then on Facebook, it's Inspired Vegan Food. So just get in touch and order the food. We are going to have an opportunity to taste the food, but before that we needed to take pictures.
They did take pictures. You did not see.
Oh,
what, you were busy?
Oh, she's already taken the picture.
Yeah, I was posing with this. Yeah. Okay, I just need to tell the listeners that I've got beautiful scones in front of me, and they smell like scones. You know what I mean? They smell normal.
They're scones.
Yeah, they are scones. But then, so you want to tell, there's no milk in here. There's no dairy.
There's no dairy in there. So basically, this is the process how we do it. So we would use stone ground flour instead of a flour that has been
refined.
Okay, I don't know what stone ground.
Exactly. So stone ground is like shilo, I like it. So we've got, there are machines that do that. Then there are people who supply those type of ingredients. So we would use that. That's the number one part. Uh-huh. Mm. So for the milk, we will then replace the dairy with coconut milk.
Mm. Wow.
Very interesting. Okay. How much research do you go into deciding how you're going to bring your products into the business?
I had to study about alchemy, anthroposophy, Ayurveda, and nutrition. So I'm one of the few chefs that I know that has done nutrition, because a lot of chefs just cook. Mm. I don't just cook. Mm. I become a vessel of honor for the food to come through me, you know, because not only that, I mean, the food that we created, like the ones that you will see, you'll taste at a later stage, it was not actually tasted while we use a style of cooking that not a lot of people use. We don't taste the food before
Before you're
the only person who will start to eat the food. So we don't know how this food tastes. You're the only one who knows how it is. You're getting the first taste. That's how much we honor. This for us is not just about just making money and selling the food. We honor the body that it's going to. So it's like a worship to us. People go to church. We go to the kitchen.
Wow. Mm.
And can I just also add to that Ngwako does most of the research. I just listen to what he shares with me. But partly, he even went to the extent of learning that the way our minds work as human beings is that we struggle with change because the mind has a comfort zone. Mm-hmm. There's I forgot the name of the part in the brain that actually we
medulla oblongata. That's all I know about brain. I never did biology. Medulla oblongata.
So apparently this area in the brain keeps us in the comfort zone and we struggle to make changes. Hmm. And that's why we struggle with diets. That's why we struggle with eating different food. And so you will see that the food that we're presenting to, it's a scone. Because we know a scone.
Yeah.
It's not a completely different cookie with a different name.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have dairy or it doesn't have eggs. You know, it's a scone that you know, and we try to make it as tasty as a normal one would taste, you know.
Wow.
The best
to
benefit.
To help people transition, if you want to transition into a vegetarian or a vegan diet. And also, if people follow us, you will see along the line, we're going to change the name of the business because we want to remove the label vegan because we find that people shy away because they think we're only cooking for vegans.
Ah.
But actually, we're cooking for anybody and everybody that is interested in eating nutritious food and eating food that is good for the body. So we've cooked for people that are diabetic. We've cooked for people that have celiac disease. We've cooked for people that are lactose intolerant, gluten intolerant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not just for vegans. It's for anybody who wants to improve their
Wow.
And we've got some homeopathic doctors that we work with. They actually send the people if they want to change their diets and to transition them. So we help them into saying, this is the type of food that you can actually have. So that's what, you know, we've got referrals from some doctors.
Yeah, inspired vegan food, they call themselves, but soon they will remove the vegan. And online bulk grocery ordering, you can go to Chanzo, it's chanzo.spaza, spaza.co, and then they are called Portfolio Food on Instagram and Inspired Vegan Food on Facebook. So obviously, how does the ordering process work? I mean, obviously, I follow you, and then I ask you the turnaround time, and then how does it work if I want to use your services?
Right now, what has happened is we've actually changed the turnaround time to less than 24 hours because our food is fresh. To source the fresh ingredients takes a bit of time. Mm. So recently what we've been working with is you order the previous day and the next day you get your food. And things like scones and meals, they can be made in a day. You know, you can call in the morning and after 2 hours or 3 hours, you can actually get your food. The one thing that is a bit different is the cheese, however, because I need to process the cheese. That's a cheese. That's a cream cheese made with cashews. You'll get to taste that.
Okay.
Now take all the spoons out of there. So basically, that's what happened. Our turnaround time is quite quick now, and we've got a bigger oven that can make about 400 scones in less than an hour. Yes.
What is your capacity? How many people can you cater for at a go?
We have catered already for people that are like 60, 100. Just the two of us, you know, and we actually got people that come from like all the way from Germany that has ordered food from us for when they land in the country, and some people from Scotland, you know.
Wow.
So we've been having all that, you know, beautiful space of actually, you know, catering for people. Yeah.
So what I would really like you to do, because I can see the business going worldwide. Once the podcast is available, we'll give it to you.
Make sure
you send it all over.
Yes.
So that people can kind of like have an idea, because I think this is very educational.
Thank you very
and
much.
And people can actually get to learn. And that's why I keep repeating how people can get hold of you.
Yeah. Bachelor Romeo, and the benefits of being on Belight is that your podcast is permanent forever and ever. It's not going to disappear.
So you must put it on your website.
Wow. Thank you very
and then
much.
And then send it on your email email profile. Make sure you send it out.
Thank you very much.
People can get a good idea of what you do.
Definitely.
Thank
we'll
you
do
so
that.
Much, guys. We're going to eat. And while we eat, we're going to talk to Miss Portia, Miss Mabatu, the bee.
The beautiful,
beautiful bee.
That's wonderful.
Awesome.
I've never.
So Sram, you know what we did? Here, we've got a last presentation here, which is just.
Yeah, this is
what
like,
looks like a normal.
Home food.
Yes, yes.
Bukobe.
You see, what we saw is our black people, but when we say we do vegan food, it becomes like, you know, it's like they build a wall.
Yeah.
So there, it's something that is made with soy, and that is bukobe, but it's made with basmati rice. So what you're getting is low glycemic index, so which means...
But I hear there's cabbage. Pella, I can't eat without cabbage.
Yes, there's cabbage. You've got to do that. You've
exactly.
got to do cabbage.
Exactly.
Because cabbage makes your stomach work well, you know. Mm. And then obviously you'll put in some gravy, you know, at a later stage. So what we're trying to do is to say, let's make nutritious food, present it the way people are used to. And that's it. That's more
unbelievable.
Of what we're doing. So we're transitioning that. This is transitional food, by the way.
All right. So what we're going to do, we're going to, when you post your pictures, we're going to retweet. We're going to make sure that we get the word out.
Yeah.
And I think what you can do is I'm going to offer you guys one session for entrepreneurship creativity. So let's set it up and then we can share some ideas in terms of how you can sell your business.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, because I honor the fact that you take your business very seriously.
Yeah.
And that to us is a big deal.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you, my Romza.
All right.
Okay. Oh, goodness. Are you going to do the drum roll and let that one come sit here? Yes,
no. The queen must come sit down first.
The queen must come and sit down.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
You don't have to run. You can sit.
So today we are talking to entrepreneurs who are, you know, obviously looking to grow their business and then using social media to obviously get the word out. And I think what we did here on Belighted, we went and found them and we whittled them down to about top four. And today in studio we have top two. And we were talking, as you heard, to Inspired Vegan Food, and it's owned by Bulelwa and Nwaku Mahura, and they actually prepared a nice meal for us here. Did you take pictures?
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm not taking pictures. I'm just like looking at the food.
All right. So come, drum roll for our next guest. I'm going to drum roll.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, in studio, today we've got the beautiful, the sweetest, the gorgeous, the fabulous, Miss Queen Bee.
Yep.
And when we say Queen Bee, we mean it in the real sense, because she is a beekeeper of note.
Ooh.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
Yeah.
Mabatu Portia Murudu.
That's how we do it. Welcome.
That's how we do it.
Welcome, girl. Thank you. Thank
so you are a proper queen bee.
Definitely. Yep.
Yeah.
Proper. And a bee sting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sting in a good way.
Sting in a good way.
Yeah.
Okay, before we get into your business quickly, tell us about yourself. Who you are. Okay, and we read the email about the story with when your father died, then your grandparents and everything, and your siblings as well. You got into this business. Pelawi, some people were scared of bees, sweetie. Those things, they sting. And then you keep them.
Yep.
Okay,
tell us. We keep them, and how that actually started is that in 2012, my grandfather was in his 80s, so we had bees that would settle in our ceiling at the farm, and they would actually produce so much honey that the ceiling would actually cave in. But year after year, like any typical black family, what do? When you see bees, you smoke them out, all sorts of things. So we tried that year in, year out from...
as I was growing up on this farm. And then this one year, he was like, Norman, let's try and see what we can do with these bees. Let's see how we can make money out of this, because he is a businessman. And then he invited all the grandchildren for a course in beekeeping. We all went, and myself and one cousin actually enjoyed it so much that we stayed on. And that's how it actually started. Just out of the blue, quit my job. And
accidental entrepreneurship.
Yes, and I was out of the door.
And I saw on the questionnaire that you sent us, you said you actually had to call in a family meeting and they had to take a vote if you are allowed to quit your job or not.
Yes. that's because my grandfather is a businessman, so he was happy with the decision. He's a farmer also, so great. But my mom and grandmother were like, no way, you can't quit your job. There's no finality guarantee in business, and that long story. So there was this vote that went on, and my grandfather was the only one that supported this decision to go into business. The rest of them actually thought I was out of work, because they started sending me, my mom would send me the post to nursing positions to say, I know absolutely nothing about nursing, but just to get me into a typical everyday job to say, no, this is the way that you should go. But yeah, that's how it actually all started. Yeah.
And your business is called The Village Market SA.
Yep.
I said that is such an ambitious name, because when you think of the market, you think of, you know, like Four Ways Farmers Market, where there's just like different people selling a whole lot of things. Mm. Then when I went into the website, I realized that it's not just bees. Give me the cabbage. I saw a whole lot of things happening there.
Yes.
So you're a farmer, Sharp Sharp.
Really farmer. So when we started The Village Market with my husband, because initially it was just a bee farm, but things didn't work out. We brought in somebody into the business that had 15 years experience. But one day we lost all the bees. The guy disappeared at 3 a.m.
With the bees?
No. Oh. Everything had been damaged, basically. So he just disappeared one morning, and then we were left with absolutely nothing, and had to move into this one Rumuko Plasing, leave a house in Joburg and move to this farm as we were trying to develop it. And that's when we were trying to create forage for bees now, trying to
call them back,
reinvent. Yeah.
From an entrepreneurship perspective, you know, you talk about the importance, obviously you didn't say it in so many words, but what is the importance of due diligence, especially, you know, you have the vision, you know you can do this. And a lot of people would have the fear to bring in other people because of the same reason. You know, they come and mess up and they leave. But what is the importance? So there is an entrepreneurship listening out there and he's thinking, you know what, I want to go into joint venture with someone else. What are those things that I need to look out for in order for me not to, you know, wake up and saying, ish, I shouldn't have brought this person in?
It's a bit of a difficult one, because like Rona, we tried to do our due diligence because we knew this guy had 15 years experience. The business was growing too quickly. Mm. And then we thought we only have about 2 years experience in beekeeping. So bring in somebody that's more clued up in the field. So we did all of that. Mm. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case. And when you get references, Kantimo, to the references they're getting from somebody, we call to find out, is he the right person? So we brought in this person not knowing. But also a lesson out of it, I think what I found was that we took a back seat so that they could take over, because we thought they have 15 years experience. Okay. When are you got two? So we sort of took a back seat and allowed him to
run with things.
Yeah.
So I think the lesson there is that even though you plan to take a back seat, you gotta be, you need to be there for a while and gradually move out, not definitely just completely like abandon, hoping that they will do this. Now, I think there's one thing that we haven't asked you. What do you sell?
We sell honey. So that's our first point of contact.
Okay.
That's our main focus, because what we found is that South Africa is not producing enough honey. Most of the honey on our shelves is from China and Argentina, and those are rejects from America in actual.
I was going to ask you if the other one, is it a Hong Kong? Or I'm kidding.
So basically the honey is radiated. So basically it's treated with radiation. So it takes out all the good qualities in that
in that honey. And that's how we started.
The one from outside.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I just might make sure people not will assume yours. You're talking about yours.
No.
Okay.
Oh, no.
So the one from outside is radialized.
Yep.
Say.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
So it's treated with radiation. It kills the good qualities because that's a process they're trying to get rid of, sort of bacteria that are coming from outside into the country. But ours, it's raw honey. So it's in its purest form. We extract it from the combs and straight it's bottled. And what we focused our business on is contacting rural communities, because what we found is that these communities, there isn't as much pollution as there is. A lot of people are not using insecticide and pesticides. So we targeted these areas to say, set up bee communities within the villages. The community members takes care of the project, and then we buy back the honey from the project. Others are just byproducts like your vegetables. So what happens is that we plan to create forage for the bees because we want to increase their populations. So we'll plant flowers, we'll plant your tomatoes and all these things. And then we sell because those are organic. We don't use any insecticides or pesticides. And then we sell those. We try to involve as many communities as possible. We have a community in Mozambique that's making the lids for our honey jars. And that's tackling deforestation within that community. So it's just trying to find interesting things that we do within villages, indigenous knowledge that we find and put it together with beekeeping and produce these beautiful products.
Wow.
I've got a follow-up question. In terms of capacity, the importance, because remember, entrepreneurs fall into a trap of saying, yes, I've got this great business idea, but then you don't look at capacity and meeting customer needs, you know, because you don't know how much they're going to order. So I just wanted you to talk a little bit about the importance of building capacity as the business grows, but number two, accessibility.
Yep. Building capacity, initially, it has been a challenge because one cannot necessarily, we didn't want to go into a business whereby we were owning 5,000 of hives. Hence, we contacted communities because it makes our life easier. Yes, we're trying to change these communities, but if you take 10 people within a community and you're saying, I'm going to train you, because we go into the communities, we actually train them once a month. We go in to check the progress of how it's going. So if you take 10 community members, train them in beekeeping, give them 500 hives, and then they work on these hives, produce the honey, and you buy it back from them. That's how we increasing our capacity to say, if I'm going to try and run 5,000 hives and employ a whole lot of people and be all over the show, it's not going to work. But it's easier for 10 people to manage 500 hives in a community, and we buy back from them.
And also
them.
That benefits the community as because they also make money.
Definitely. I think the one community that we got our honey from, for a village, you can imagine, there was one community that managed to get 138,000 just from honey production. That was 3 tons of honey that we managed to get from them. So for a community,
it was somewhere in Limpopo, ne?
That one was in KZN. Would love to have
to
one in
Limpopo. I was just taking a chance, you know.
Yes.
And then there's one thing that I like from what you said is that you go find this community, you train them with your money, and then you help them know how to beekeep, and then you buy
back
from
buy.
Them.
We buy back at fair trade prices. We don't exploit. I think the one experience that we had recently was in Gazini. We have a project in Gazini in partnership with elephant, rhinos and people. And what happens in this village is that they have a problem with elephants crossing into the village from Mozambique. And elephants don't like bees. So what we did is that we went and built a bee fence with the community members. So it's a fence that's got hives on it to block
to keep the
Isn't that
so clever?
I saw that on TV once. Is that your project?
Was
that a project?
Forbes.
Is this documented?
It's documented, but it's not out there as
can you
as
academic
much.
So can you do this? Can you write a journal like an academic journal, and make sure this is documented. Because when you see your likes of DJ Spooz and all that getting invited to your Massachusetts to go and speak, it's because of that. So you need to, my challenge to you is I want you to sit down with your family and husband and you actually document your journey and you write it down. So you create an ecosystem and then you make sure that it's on YouTube and everywhere, and you'll see. And every time you get an international invitation, it comes with money.
Definitely.
That's how we're going to make money. Yeah. Then you can bring us commission, right?
Yeah, 5%.
5%. Okay. Yeah, that's all. We only want 5.
You got it.
We only want 5.
See?
We only want 5. Because, but another thing, that's why we have this program, this entrepreneur session on Belighted, because not only is Belighted about just personal lives and personal achievements, but then we also are trying to find people who are trying to make our communities better. I mean, like with Inspired Vegan Food as well. Their mission is to just make sure that, you know, communities eat properly, because when you're eating well, then you never get sick. So you don't need to go to the doctor and you live longer.
Yeah.
And with you as well, I mean, that world might not be sounding like a big, big thing, but it is amazing because elephants coming through and a bee is just like this little thing. And
it's small.
And it's such a smart idea.
Yep. Yep.
And it's interesting because when we went into the village, most of the villagers were like, there's absolutely no way that this is going to work.
To
but
work.
We had done research because Dr. Lucy King in Kenya had actually tried it. So we came into the village. We started the bee fence. It had about 50 hives to start off. But what ended up happening is that the elephants were actually not going straight towards the fence, but they were trying to
go around.
To go around. So they it has to be extended.
Yeah.
So recently the community had their first batch of honey, and it was the most beautiful feeling because they didn't produce as much honey as yet as we had expected because of the rains in Mozambique recently. But when we got home with my husband, the first thing we got was an SMS from a guy that can't really write or read, and was saying, it's amazing how the bees have actually changed my life for the better. And we actually realized how this was actually changing life, and it's fulfilling for us, and that's why we need to
wrap up. And before we do, two questions: how easy it is to access funding for you? What has that journey been like? And number two, I want you to obviously, and in a nutshell, sell your business and make sure people know how to contact you.
Accessing funding for us, it has been quite difficult. I'll be honest with you. Most of our funding has come from international donors than South Africa. And I have to just tell the story. What happened is that when the business fell apart the first time around, I met this old lady, Jewish lady, and she just said to me, I like you. I'll pay your salary to keep you in your business. And that's how we actually didn't know me from a bar of soap. But she started paying 10,000 in my account every month to just keep us going.
You know, there's something that a lot of our politicians can learn from this. You declare. You just told us how much.
You just told us how much it was. Okay, declaration. You must give that lady my number.
Anyway, yes,
Yeah, so she started paying that 10,000, and till this day, we have such a wonderful relationship.
She's still paying the 10 grand?
No. Now she's...
Hamaromza.
Now she's...
Just checking. You asked for her number, so I'm just checking.
No, she has to move on to other entrepreneurs.
Okay.
But we still do a whole lot of work together, but she supported the business from the onset to where it is now.
Which malls does she hang around in mostly? Okay, don't answer the question. Don't answer the question. Continue.
Yes.
Why are you guys hating? What's wrong?
We don't hate you, but you're telling me not to.
Why are you laughing? Like, why are you laughing? What's wrong?
I never mind.
Yeah, so our latest funding has been from the AU. So we've been blessed in that we received this funding. Funny thing is that we haven't used it as yet. We thought when we got the funding, you'll use it almost immediately, but we still actually haven't even used that fund.
But then how do you manage accountability? Because you need to tell them what reports.
No, they know, because what happened is that the money was supposed to go to a project, this project, the elephant project in KZN. But by the time that happened, the project had already been done. So we're still trying to find
communities.
Which
is why then they will never take the money away, because they can see that you're not completely, dependent on them and say, give us money. You know, you're making your own things.
We're just trying to find other projects, other communities that we can challenge channel such
money. How do people get hold of you? And please say that very slowly.
Okay. You can get hold of me on 072-99-11-691. And that's Mabatu. And my email address is Portia, PORTIAMM5@gmail.com.
Right. And then, so do you take individual orders? So like, how does the, yeah. how do you distribute?
We do on the line. So if you call me, we will deliver, but they can find our honey at Pick and Pay, but that's more the north side, your Pretoria side. They can find it there. Roast Republic, we have a River Sands Incubation Hub. They can get it there, but it's in a lot of products.
You know, okay.
Chocolate. Wow. Yeah. Okay, and then there's the website, the social media as well that
yes.
people can follow, the yep. Village Market
and
SA.
And that's the Village Market SA.
Yeah, we will find you.
Right.
Wow, can you believe the show is over?
Yeah.
Like, we're not even going to get a chance to say goodbye. We're just going to, like, switch off and just
we
leave.
Need to eat. Can we close the show? Eh? We need to eat.
Okay, we're going to close the show. Guys, we're going to eat, and we're going to just leave you there. Oh, and we did have a beautiful, we have a WhatsApp message.
Oh, we do?
It says, inspired vegan food is not only about food, but about lifestyle.
Okay, that's nice.
And then we've got brilliant how Portia spreads the risk by involving and empowering communities. Bees are the business.
Bees are the business. That's
a
right. Yeah.
Wow. And that's
Pulem Hopper. Pulem. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And the other message?
Message is just the number.
What's our WhatsApp number? Because clearly we're starting to get love on WhatsApp. Huh?
Well, our WhatsApp number is 079-748-2090. Yes, 2090. Yeah.
Right.
079-748-2090.
And that's how we come to the end of the show.
Guys, you guys are amazing. Thank you so much, Mwako. Thank you so much. Bulelwa, thank you so much. Mabatu, you guys are light. Keep doing that, keep shining, and we know that our communities are just going to be better because we have people like you in our lives.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And Maromza, have a beautiful
week.
Day. I know you're wearing a suit already. So go out there and shine. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Gatsum Simino. You're listening to Be Lighted with Rami and Romeo on Cliff Central.
CliffCentral.com.